He cannot turn away. Presence. All right, go with me back to Acts 22. Thank you, John and Sherry. Most in here know the story of Paul. We've looked at it several times together. You have read it. His conversion, how the Lord saved him. Everywhere he went, he told this story. This was his story. This is what, or rather who, that Paul gloried in. He gloried not in himself, not in his apostleship, not in his preaching or any of that. Miracles, he worked miracles. Not in any of that. He said, God forbid that I should glory in anything save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. And he said over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, this is a faithful saying. Right after he said that, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. He said, I am, not was, but I am the chief. And he said, for this cause, the cause of Christ, this is why Christ came, to save sinners. And he showed how he saves the worst of the worst. He said, I'm it. And for this cause, he said, I obtained mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ would show forth all longsuffering, how long he would put up with the worst rebel of all, the worst, the one who hated me more than anybody. And he said, I'm a pattern. I'm a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Christ to life everlasting. He said, I'm a pattern. The way God saved me, he saves every single one of his people. Circumstances are a little different, but the story is the same. Christ came to him. Christ revealed himself to him. Christ brought him down to lift him up. Christ sent a preacher. And the message that the preacher gave, preached, is the message every single child of God is going to hear. Salvation. All right, this is his story. And we read it, verses 1 through 3. Men and brethren, he said, Father, hear my defense. He's not defending himself here, necessarily. He said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Well, who he's defending, rather, is the truth against all of their charges. And they heard him speak in the Hebrew tongue. He was a gifted man and spoke several languages. They heard him speak in Greek first, the Romans did. Now the Jews hear him in Hebrew, and they were very quiet. And he said in verse 3, he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, city in Cilicia, brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, the most noted Bible teacher of this day. He said, I was taught according to the law, the perfect manner of the law of the Father. He said, I was zealous toward God, as you are. He's looking at a crowd of religious people, Jews. And he said, I was just like you. He said, I was raised up just like you in religion, in Orthodox religion, Judeo religion. The law, the Ten Commandments, the Bible. And I was zealous, he said. I was moral, he said. I had a zeal for God. I was very enthusiastic about God, about my religion. But in Romans 10, he said, I didn't know God. I was lost. And he said, look at verse, and you know, many in here were raised in Orthodox religion, Baptists under in so-called Christianity, weren't you? Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalians, and Pentecost, whatever. Just like Paul. Saul, that is. And zealous, perhaps, for your religion, thinking you were moral, thinking that you knew who Jesus was, who God was, thinking all of that, didn't you? Many in here, if not most in here, just like that. Now, Paul said in verse 4, he said, and I persecuted this way. This way. That is the way that he said is the only way. Jesus Christ. Over in Acts 28, he was, when they brought him to Rome, and preached the gospel, he comes to Rome, and chapter 28, it says in verse 22, the people said to him, we desire to hear what you think concerning this sect, this cult that you're a member of, because we know everywhere it's spoken against. Everybody in organized religion. We all believe the same way. We all believe the same God. We all believe salvation's this way. But you say, you're saying something entirely different. And everybody's against it. But we want to hear what you have to say. So that's what Paul said. He said, I did too. I hated it. Hated this way. What way? Salvation. 100%. 100% of the Lord. From the choosing of a people to the calling of those people to the bringing of those people to the redeeming of those people to the teaching, leading, guiding, directing the birth of those people, the keeping of those people, the restraining of those people to the final glorification of those people and change of those people is of the Lord. 100% of the Lord. Him. That they had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Salvation is of the Lord. Right? Paul said, I hated that. When I heard these preachers talking about nothing you do will merit anything before God. Nothing you do. All the religious things that you've ever done, all the good deeds you've ever done do not count for anything to God. I hated that, he said. I hated that because I'd given my life for this religion. I sacrificed for my religion. Later on, Paul said, if I give my body to be burned, it doesn't matter. If I don't love Christ, he said, I hated this way. Salvation, God's way. The only way. Salvation, my sovereign grace. When God said, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. It's not up to you. It's not up to man. It's completely 100% up to the will and the choice of God. Paul said, I hated that. Hated that. God's will. God choosing the people. We don't choose Him. He chooses us. Paul said, I hated that. Because I did, Paul said. I made a choice. Salvation by Jesus Christ, His blood and His righteousness. Paul said, I hated that, His righteousness. He said, I went about for years zealous of the law, keeping the law, trying to keep the law perfectly, abstaining from everything, doing this and doing that, trying to keep the law. And he said, I did. He said, he even said, I was blameless according to the law, he thought. I said, I was blameless. Nobody could charge me with anything. Show me a law, and he said, I've kept it from my youth up. And then when somebody told me, when I heard them say that they're preaching down there that by the deeds of the law so no flesh be justified, I hated that. I hated that. He said, I'm going to put them out of business. When they said it's only by Jesus Christ being a substitute, by Jesus Christ coming to this earth,
This man, that's not God. That's just a man like me. He's no better than I am. He's just a man. I'm as good as he, Saul thought. But no, they said he's God. I don't believe that. Well, they said that he came to this earth, and what he did it for his people. But he lived according to the law for his people. And only by him doing that, being their substitute, will they be accepted by God. Nothing they do, doesn't matter what they do, they won't be accepted by what they've done, but only through him. He's the only one that can get them in heaven. And he said, I hated that. So I'm going to put him out of business. Here's what I'm going to do with this Jesus fellow. I'm going to put him and everybody believes in him out of business. Like Acts chapter 2, or I mean Psalm 2. Psalm 2, those of you who know it, say the kings of the earth were gathered together against the Lord and gets his anointed and say, let's cast their bands asunder. And he that sits in the heavens laughs. Laughs. You know, all men and women love their way, and they hate God's way. Yes, we do. All men and women by nature hate God's way. There's only way. One way. Men and women and young people love sin. They hate holiness, true holiness. Men and women and young people love lies. They hate the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. Men and women and young people love themselves. They don't love God. Oh, no. I'm talking it from experience. Men and women and young people love their own glory and their own righteousness, and they hate God. They don't like this gospel. And neither did Saul of Tarsus. In verse 6, he says, so it came to pass, I made my journey. He was on his way somewhere. He was going somewhere. He purposed this. He planned this to go down and get hold of a bunch of these believers and bring them back to Jerusalem and punish them and make an example out of them. He was on his way. He had this journey all planned out. On his way is a way that seemed right to him. If the Lord had left Saul alone, he would have perished. He would have died in his sin. He'd be in hell right now. If the Lord hadn't come to Saul, Saul would have never come to him. Saul would have never believed him. If the Lord hadn't stopped him, he would have perished. And so it is with every single son of Adam that God saved. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end is destruction. Most people, you ask them something about religion, they'll say, well, this is what I think. Well, God said in Psalm 50, thou thoughtest. You think that I'm just like you, but I'm not. That salvation is your way, but it's not. There is a way that seems right, but it ends in death. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man to his own way. And Saul said this, verse 6. So he said, I was on my way, and I came nigh to Damascus about noon. High noon, when the sun's at its peak. How significant. Sun was at its peak. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Suddenly a great light surrounded me. Paul didn't say, I saw the light, did he? He said, a light surrounded me. A great light, as if brighter than the sun. A great light. Isn't that what John said when he described the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation 1? You know, people have this silly picture of some Caucasian that they think is supposed to be Jesus, and that's not him at all. In Revelation 1, it declares him, it describes him, and it says his countenance is as the sun that shineth in all its strength. His feet as brass that burns in the fire. And his voice is the sound of many water. People say, Jesus spoke to me, and I saw Jesus. No, you didn't. Because he dwells in light which no man can approach unto. Just as we can't look into the sun for any time at all, we can't see Christ now as he is. We can only see him like that. But Paul did see him. You see, Paul was an apostle. And to be an apostle, it required three credentials. Number one, you had to actually see Jesus Christ. He did. Number two, you had to receive your orders, your commission, your ministry from Jesus Christ. The Lord gave it to him and said, you're going to do what I tell you to do. You're going to go where I tell you to. And thirdly, they had the gifts given to them by Jesus Christ. The languages, healing, and so forth. Even some of them even raised the dead. There are no more apostles anymore. And nobody has seen Jesus Christ anymore in the flesh as he is. We will, but not in this flesh. Paul did. And Christ came, and the Scripture says he surrounded him. Suddenly a great light shone round about him, surrounded him, apprehended him. One time he said, I've been apprehended in Philippians. He said that. Now, Paul said, I'm a pattern. I'm a pattern of how God saved people. When the gospel comes to you, when God comes to you through the preaching of the gospel, when Christ comes to you and speaks to you, you didn't find him. He found you. You didn't lay hold of him. He laid hold of you like old Jacob. Jacob was on his way, and the Lord Jesus Christ came and found him and wrestled with him. And brought him down to the ground like he did Paul. Look at it. He said in verse 7, I fell unto the ground. When the Lord Jesus Christ surrounded him and is about to reveal himself to him, Paul hit the dirt. He fell down. He came down. He was brought down. The first step in salvation. Every single person whom God saves, whom Christ deals with, he brings them down. Down. Humbles us. Strips us. Here's what the Scriptures talks about. To be clothed, you've got to be stripped. You've got to be naked. To be found, you've got to be lost. To be made alive, you've got to be dead, don't you? Huh? Humbles us. Brings us down in the dust to see that we're nothing. Paul thought he was something. He was nothing. Now he realizes he's nothing. He fell down. He says he heard a voice, verse 7. He said, I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. And as the article says, if the preacher's voice is the only voice you hear, nothing will come out of this. But every single one of God's people, when Christ finally comes to reveal himself to them and saves them, they're going to hear his voice. Through a man, yes, but they're not an audible voice, but the voice of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to believe that's him speaking to them. And it is. It is. And he'll bring them down. That's the first thing. Bring them down. Strip them. Naked. Guilty. Worthless. Dead. Guilty. In the dirt. Like that Naaman, the Syrian. So he said, I fell down. And then I said in verse 8, Who art thou, Lord? Somebody, one of the old preachers one time said, Paul didn't know who he was. He's about to find out. But he did know this. Whoever brought him down in the dust is Lord. The one now at whose feet he lies is Lord. He's Lord. And the Lord said to him, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. I am Jesus, whom thou just thought was a man. I am Jesus, whom you thought you were going to do something with. I am Jesus, whom you thought you were going to put out of business. Whom you thought were just a man and an imposter. I am Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, a man, but now you see I'm more than just a man, don't you? And you're fighting and you're persecuting. You're against not just a man. You're against God. You're fighting against God. In verse 9, he said, They that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto them. Many say they see the light. Hank Williams said that. Well, he sure didn't. Many say they do see the light.
You know, people actually go through these so-called experiences. You read about it all the time. That somebody dies, and I read of some little boy was on the operating table or something, and they couldn't resuscitate him. His heart stopped, and after it was all over, he told his story about seeing Jesus, and he sat on his lap, and so on and so forth. And everybody just gave him a hearing, just listened to what he was saying, and just thought, what a wonderful thing. They listened to a little boy. Won't listen to the Word of God. He didn't see Jesus. He didn't see the Lord Jesus Christ. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Paul was scared to death. He was afraid. These saw the light, but they didn't hear His voice. And in that, tell it. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. The voice of Christ is the gospel, is the truth. And He said, some turn away their ears from the truth, but not my people. He said, they'll hear my voice. They'll hear the word of my power, the gospel preached. And Saul is going to hear it preached here in just a minute. And that's how we're born again, by the word of God. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, the gospel. And look at verse 10. So Paul said, here's what Paul said. He said, what shall I do, Lord? He says, what are you going to do with me? See, before Paul was talking about what he was going to do with Jesus. Then, before Paul said, this is what I'm going to do, talking about his way, his will, his decision, I decided, this is what I decided. Now that he's met the true Christ, now he's saying, oh, what are you going to do with me? Now he realizes that this Jesus is not in his hands to accept or reject, that he is in his hands to accept or reject. That this Lord Jesus, see, none can really call him Lord except by the Spirit of God. He knows now that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord overall, sovereign overall, sovereign over him, over his soul, over everything. And he says, what are you going to do with me? What are you going to do with me? And look at what the Lord said in verse 10. The Lord said, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things that are appointed unto thee today. The Lord never asked Saul one thing here. He never asked him one thing. Neither did Ananias when he came to him. Saul, would you accept this Jesus as your... No, sir. The Lord didn't ask Saul anything. He's telling him what he has already purposed to do. He said, you're going to go, and it's going to be told you what I've already appointed to be done for you and to you and through you. It's all appointed. It's all been predestined by me. That's what Jesus Christ, the Lord, said. Saul, you go where I tell you to go, and it's going to be told you what you're going to do. Because it's all appointed. That's Christ of Scripture, who orders all things, and they're sure, who worketh all things according to His purpose, and none can stay His hand. Now look at verse 11. Paul said, when I could not see for the glory of that light, I was led by the hand of them that were with me. And I came to Damascus. I couldn't see for the glory of that light. When the Lord Jesus Christ revealed Himself to Paul, it blinded him to everything else but the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I couldn't see for the glory of that light. Scripture says in one place, Ichabod is written over the door. The glory hath departed. Religion today, there's no glory. No glory of God. God's not. They don't glorify God as God, but were vain in their imagination. Made up all sorts of things. Made God into a man. Just like us. Brought God down to the place of a man that God wants to and tries and can't and won't, can't do anything unless you let it. The glory has departed. The glory of God is that He is God. The glory of God, the Scripture speaks of, is that He does as He will, with whom He will, because He will, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, you can't do that. He said, I'm the potter and you're the clay. That's the glory of God.
The glory of Jesus Christ is He came down here to do a work, and He did that. He didn't try to do it. He came to do it for a particular people, and every single person He did that for are saved. That's His glory. The glory of God is that He sovereignly loves a people. They don't deserve that love, but He set His love on them, though unlovely, though undeserving. But He set His love on them. Not all people, but some people. Many people, yes, but some people. And those whom God loved, undeserving though they be, God in glorious love said, I'm going to keep you, I'm going to save you, and nothing's going to prevent that. That's His glory. The glory of Jesus Christ is that He, all that He did, He took and He charged it to someone else, to His people. And He Himself took their blame, took their sin. Well, that's His glory. It's not what you do with Jesus. That brings Him down. It's not something we decided for God. That brings Him down. It's His choice, His will. Oh, my, the glory hath departed. Paul said, when I could not see for the glory of that light, God shone in his heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was led around by the hand. He was blinded. He used to think he was something. Now he can't see anything of himself. Can't see himself. He used to think the temple was great. He can't see it now for the glory of Christ. He used to think that, his robes and all were... Well, he can't see anything. He's glory. He's blinded. All he can see is sunspots. The glory of Christ. Now look at read on with me. In verse 11, he said, I was led by the hand. Now, Paul is one of God's elect. How do you know? Because he said to the Thessalonians, we know your election, brethren, your election of God, because our gospel came unto you. God sent a preacher to Paul. Verse 12, this Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. He came unto me, and he stood, and he said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. Before, Paul was a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, on his way up the religious ladder, and he looked down on these silly fishermen, these ridiculous, unlearned fellows with no credentials. He looked down on them. Now he's looking up to them. Now he's like a little child. He needs to be taught by this fellow, this unknown preacher. And here's the preacher's message, all right? Here it is. He said to Saul, verse 14, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Election. First thing he said to him, which religion denies, but those who claim to believe it, Southern Baptists, some say they believe it, but they don't preach it. But they say, you sure don't go out, and that's not the first thing you talk about. Ananias did. Why? Because that's God's glory. That's God's glory. And Paul realizes it. If he hadn't chosen me, I wouldn't have chosen him. If he hadn't chosen me to show mercy on me, I'd have perished. If he hadn't stopped me in my wild career, if he hadn't chosen me, there were many Pharisees, but the Lord didn't save very many of them, did he? He saved a few, Nicodemus and Saul, and maybe Nicodemus, but as Paul realized, if God hadn't chosen me, I would never have chosen him. That's God's glory. Our Lord kept telling his disciples that, you didn't choose me, I chose you. They all knew that to a man. It's not a doctrine. Say, must you believe in election to be saved? You must believe that God chose you, yes. You cannot believe that you chose Him, that you had anything to do with it and be one of God's own. This man came to Saul and he knows, doesn't he? He knows. He hated this way. And the first thing out of the preacher's mouth is, God elected the people. And by His mercy and grace, you're one of them. He said, glory, hallelujah. I'm one of the elect. I hated that before. I hated that election. Hated it, couldn't stand the sound of it, predestination. And he just told him, God's ordered everything concerning me. It's all been preordained. He said, I hated that before. Now I'm so happy. I'm so glad. God's chosen you. Oh, thank God, because I never would have chosen him. I was going my way. What did he choose you to do, Paul, Saul? This, and Ananias goes on, that you should know his will. Everybody says, I'm trying to find the Lord's will. That's a baloney. Look over at Daniel chapter 9. God's people know his will. Daniel chapter 9. Go over there. You have a Bible. Daniel chapter 9. All of God's people know his will. What is his will? Nebuchadnezzar found out. Nebuchadnezzar, like Saul of Tarsus, was this big, high, and mighty, and glorious king who thought he was somebody and done some things and had no use for God, didn't know God. Look at this. You have it? Daniel chapter 4. Daniel 4, verse 30. The king said, is not this great Babylon I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power for the honor of my majesty? While I was saying, he said, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. Who's this? Jesus Christ. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. It's not your will. Can a person know Christ, know God who believes in free will? No. No. That you may know His will. What is that? That He doeth all things according to His will. And read on. He said, that same hour, Nebuchadnezzar was driven from men, verse 33, ate grass as an oxen. Body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair were grown like eagle's feather, his nails like bird's claw. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him, not myself, Him, not my will, His, not my choice, His, that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. And His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand and say unto Him, what doest thou? At that same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, my counselor, my Lord. And down in verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, his ways, his judgment, and those that walk in pride, he's able to obey. Saul, the Lord has chosen you to know his will. What is that? That it's his will, and it's not yours. It's not yours. Look at the next thing. He said, the Lord has chosen you to know His will, that you should see that just one. Well, I need more time, but... And this is not a play on words. But God is just. God is holy. Man is unjust. Man is unholy. Man's a sinner. God is holy. It must be perfect to be accepted. Something's got to be done about our sin. Sin must be punished. God will punish sin. You must be holy to enter heaven. As holy as God. And you can't do that. But God sent forth His Son to declare, I say, at this time, Romans said, His righteousness. Sent forth His Son. The only one that God is well pleased in. And He did that for His people. God, Christ did that for His people. lived this holy life according to God's law for His people and charged it to them. And then God charged Christ with their sin. God, who is just, who by no means clear the guilty, made Christ guilty and poured out on him his wrath, that God might be just and justifier of them that believe on Christ. To declare, I say, in His righteousness, that God might be just. There's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not, the Proverbs say, except Jesus Christ. And God is only pleased with Him. That's a fact. And Paul knew that from this day on. Paul knew that. And that's who he preached. He said, my righteousness, filthy rags. Away with that. All my religion, all my decision, all my whatever I did, it's dung, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith in Christ. He knew that from then on, that Christ is my justifier. And He said, and you're going to hear His voice. He's chosen you to hear His voice. What you're hearing this morning, we hear a lot. How blessed we are. Few people hear it. And if they do, they turn away their ears from it. Think it's too hard. It's too dogmatic. It's too bold. And you become their enemy for telling you the truth. And Paul was too. And from this day forward, when Paul said, now listen, I was just like you. I was ignorant. I didn't know God. I was lost like you. Listen to me now. And they said, no, we hate this way. And they hated Paul. And then old man Ananias said to Saul, he said, why are you tarrying? Get up, arise, my soul, arise. And be baptized. Confess Christ and believers' baptism. Renounce your religion. Renounce your past. Renounce everything about you, everything you've ever done. And confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your own. And Saul said, okay. Paul began this day riding in splendor, proud and high. He ended it in the dust, meek and lowly. He began this day calling Jesus just a man. He ended up calling Him Lord. He began this day seeing everything, knowing everything. He ended this day not seeing anything, not knowing anything. He began this day leading men. He ended this day being led by men. He began this day breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the truth. He ended this day crying for mercy. He began this day bragging about what He's going to do. And He ended this day asking the Lord, what You're going to do. He began this day looking down on these ignorant preachers. He ended this day looking up to these wise men of God. He began this day against God's people. He ended up with them coming and going. He began this day above them, their superior. He ended this day by being less than the least, not fit to be called a disciple. He began this day wanting this way to die. He ended this day wanting to die for this way. This is what Jesus Christ does to everyone that He saves. Everyone. Without exception. Without exception. Have you seen it? His glory? Have you heard His voice? Have you been brought down? I pray to God that He'll do that for you. Okay. John, come and lead us. And closing hymn.
Four seventy-four.